We're going to talk about discouragement. Discouragement, disappointment, these types of things. For example, how many people have, I know for myself, I've been in a position where I had a job, but I was looking to get a better job. I really needed a better job. I was married, and my wife was pregnant. We had a kid on the way. And I just really needed a better job. So I was believing God. I was having faith. I was doing everything that I could, filling out applications everywhere, going everywhere, doing everything that I could. And it seemed like everywhere I went, it would be like, I put an application in, okay, application looks good. You know, they'd call me back, looks good, why don't you come in for an interview? Okay, awesome. I come in, I go to the interview. Interview seems to go like awesome or great. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is going to be it. This is it. God opened the door. It's going to be a great job. And then the next day, I know like a little bit of time goes by. And then they call back like, sorry, it's not going to work out right now, you know, but it's, you're going to have to, you know, we just can't do it right now. Somebody with a better skill set or better candidate came along, and we're going to have to do that or something like, you know, and that happened time and time again. And sometimes with discouragement, it can kind of seem like that, or especially when you're trying to get a job. When you're trying to get a job, you will try to get a job and the door will get shut over and over and over and over and over. And then once the door finally opens, don't you know everybody starts calling back? then everybody wants you to work for them. Like, what the heck, man? But man, it can be so discouraging when you're believing God for something. You're doing your part. You're stepping out in faith. You're filling out an application. You're making the phone calls. You're taking the test. You're doing everything that you can. And it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Or maybe, you know, maybe it could be something as, like you're believing for, you know, you have a health issue of some sort, and you're believing God to you know, you have headaches or something, and you're believing God to be able to heal you from these headaches, because headaches are annoying, and they can really bring you down, and you're praying, and you're believing, and it's not happening. It's just not happening. You're not getting healed, and it's really frustrating. It's really discouraging. It's really disappointing. I remember one other time, years ago, it was a time where my wife and I, we were like, just flat broke. I mean, just ridiculously broke, like really, really bad. And I had my faith though, man. I was a tither, and God is going to provide, man. And I'm standing on God's word, and he's going to come through. You watch. I would tell you know what? God's going to come through. And I remember one day, or it was the night before, and I was praying. I was like, God, I don't have any money, and I'm like on E. So I know, because I'm a male, I know my car, I know I can take my E all the way down to work, but my E isn't going to bring me back today because I've already done that for 3 days. I know how far I can take E, and I was like, okay, well, God, you're going to have to do something. And I had done some side work, some computer work, and I was praying, you know, I was like, God, I pray that when I get home, there's a check in the mail. It's an, you know, check's in the mail, it's going to get there, and I'm going to have money, it's going to be awesome. And I go home, and I open the mailbox, and I got a check, man. I got checks in the mail. I was all excited. Woo, yeah. And the next day, I drive down to work on E. And I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll go deposit the check on my way home. And so I go to work, and all day at work, I'm thinking I'm good. Like, God provided. And I go to, so I leave work. I drive to the bank, and I go to try to deposit this check. And it was, they made the check out to a business that I had made for myself. I had started. And because I hadn't deposited anything for like 3 or 4 months or something like that, they closed it. So I couldn't deposit the check. I was like, I was crushed. It's like, God, what the heck, man? You gave me the checks in the mail, but it's a piece of paper. I can't do anything with it. So I was like, oh my gosh. I'm going to just drive to the gas station, and I don't know. God, I've heard people pray and God fill up the gas tank, or, you know, like, I'm just going to go to the gas station. So I'm driving to the gas station, and it's like running out. You're like, you know, I'm like, oh, go, you know, come on, get there. And I make it, I pull in, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what now. I'm here and it's not filling up. And so I was like, man, I guess I'm just going to have to call somebody. I don't know. There's nothing left for me to do. So I'd go to get my phone out, and I drop it, and it falls under my chair, and I had kind of a broken up a phone. It wasn't very good, and it would just randomly just turn off, and it wouldn't turn back on for like long stretches of time, and it turned off, and I was like, no, like, I can't even call anybody. I couldn't get it back on. My phone was dead. I had no money. I have a car that's, you know, at a gas station on empty. And I couldn't even, I was like, I can't even call like my dad or something, you know? And so I had to go ask people for change to use a payphone. And there is no great end to that story. Like, it just really sucked. And it was really disappointing and really discouraging because I was believing, like, my God can do this, you know? Like, God can do this. And I was just sitting in my car, like, people pull up, get gas, drive away, just waiting, you know? And I put the quarters in the payphone. I'm just praying, please answer the phone. You know, like, if I lose these quarters, I'm done. And, you know, eventually my dad showed up and gave me some money to get some gas, and I could go home. And it was really discouraging and really frustrating. And the thing that happens when we experience these things is that we naturally just we have to react to these things. And a lot of times when we get disappointed or we get discouraged by something that happened, something that's going on around us, it just makes the day bad, right? Like, now you had a bad day. Like, well, I was waiting for this, didn't happen, great. Now I'm waiting, and, you know, I'm not going home like, hey, I'm home now. Come on, kids, let's play. You know, like, no, this is not a good day. This is a bad day. This is a very bad day. You know, it wears on you. And sometimes things can be bad where, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you, and, you know, that bad day turns into a bad week or a bad month, and you just can't kind of, like, shake it. You can't really get out of it. And essentially what we usually end up doing, we're believing God for one thing, and we end up just kind of saying, forget it. Like, it's not worth it. I tried, and it didn't happen. And I tried again, and it still didn't happen. And I keep trying, and it doesn't happen. And we just say, forget it. That's, what do you do when you're faced with discouragement, with a situation that you were really hoping was going to work? You were really believing God that something great was going to happen, and it didn't. It fell through. You came back and nothing changed. And the tendency that we have is to say forget it and to back off of it. And to kind of, we just end up backing off of it and saying forget it. It's not worth pursuing. It's not worth the pain. I tried it and it hurt. Why am I going to keep trying that again? And one of the things that we need to understand when we're believing God for something is that God, things happen in God's timing. And when things don't come through right away, that doesn't mean that God is saying no. Sometimes God is saying you need to wait or you're not ready. Or I've heard people say God's delay is not his denial. And so what we're going to do is look at a couple of things that we can do to overcome, to basically respond to discouragement in the proper way. And I really want you guys to pay attention. I want you to listen. I want you to open your hearts, and I want you to be attentive, because I believe and I know that God has a word for a lot of you out there. Because the fact of the matter is, discouragement and disappointment are some of the biggest, most used tools in the devil's arsenal on us as Christians. If you go around and you ask people, most of the time you will find a lot of people who are discouraged about something. They're disappointed about something else, and they walk around with it. They hold it. They carry it. It goes around with them. And we need to learn how to respond to those things the way that God would have us to respond. And I believe God showed us a couple of things out of the Bible that are really, they really helped me, and they really opened my eyes to a couple of things, and I think they're going to do the same for you. So number one, how to respond to discouragement and disappointment. Number one, you have to stir yourself up. Go and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. As the two people who, I hear like two pages turning. As you two people, turn your Bibles to chapter 30. I will give you a little bit of background on what's going on here in this story. So basically, we're talking about David, And David's been appointed by God to be the king of Israel. So David's already been appointed by God to be the king of Israel. And basically, the current king, or the still acting king, is Saul. And Saul has become jealous of David, and he's trying to kill him. So David is on the run from Saul. David has some men with him. He has some soldiers with him. And they've been on the run from Saul. And they've been kind of taking refuge and been staying with the Philistines. Surely you remember the Philistines, Goliath. It's funny that David killed a Philistine and then he's taking refuge with them. But David is staying with the Philistines, and he had been staying with them a while, and the guys that he was with, they really liked him. They knew he was a good guy. But some of the leaders of the Philistines were like, get this guy out of here. We're going to be going to war, and we don't want this guy to change his mind and end up killing us. He says he's going to fight for us, but I don't know. So they basically say, David, you got to go. You got to go home. You got to go home to Ziklag. That was his home at the time, Ziklag. So let's pick up the story. This is where David just got kicked out of from the Philistines, and he's going home to Ziklag. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 3. It says, so David and his men came to the city Ziklag, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. I forgot to mention the most important part. Oh, my gosh. Right before David and his men are going back to Ziklag, their home, the Amalekites had just came from the south and attacked and basically burned down their houses, burned their city down, took their wives and their sons and their children. They took their whole family captive. So that's what we're reading here. So David and his men came to the city Ziklag, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, these guys were, obviously, this is a huge loss. They have cried till they can't cry anymore. Try to get a picture of how devastating this situation is. This is extremely devastating. These are warriors, and they are broken. They have cried till they can cry no more. It says, and David's wives were taken captive too. Paraphrase verse 5. Number 6. It says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. So basically, David is extremely discouraged and down. He's distressed because all of these guys that have been following him, all of these guys who have been fighting with him and going with him everywhere that he went, they're turning on him like, look, dude, we've followed you, we've fought with you, we've been with you, we've gone with you, and now we've done all this and we come back and our houses are burned down, our families are gone. Why are we doing this? Why are we following you? They want to stone him. They're broken. They're very, they've experienced something that's extremely tragic. And they want to stone David. And so David has to do something. He has to respond. It says, but David strengthened, or in another translation says, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So we're talking about stir yourself up. And I want you to, you can see the part that's bolded and underlined. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And that just really stood out to me, because a lot of times, as young adults, something bad goes on, and what is the first thing we do? Oh my gosh, did you hear what happened? This happened, it's so bad, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And we're like, we're talking to people, we're calling people, Facebooking people, we want to tell everybody that we know so we can kind of get sympathy or get, no, I just want their prayers, whatever. But we always turn to other, like, it is our natural fleshly reaction to turn to other people and say, I need you to, help me, tell me it's going to be okay, tell me that everything's going to work out. And it's good to have godly friends. We need to have godly friends who can do that for us. But the difference between a immature Christian and a mature Christian is the ability to strengthen himself. And God has called us to stir, what is the point? Stir yourself up. We ought to be able to stir ourselves up. And then it says, in the Lord his God. I've been coming to church a long time, and I'm sure you can probably relate to this. There's been times where Pastor Jim is just like preaching, tearing it up, and I'm like, "Woo! Yeah, exactly. What? You know, I want to wave something, throw a flag." And I'm like, it's almost like I'm excited. There was times where it's like I was just excited. It's like, man, I'm excited for that God, the one that he's talking about. Because if I'm honest, that's not mine. And he makes that clear. The Lord, his God, not the God of Israel, not the God of Jacob, not his God. So we really have to look at this. We have to look at how we can encourage and strengthen ourselves, stir ourselves up in our God. So how do you do that? How do you stir yourself up? How do we strengthen ourselves so that we don't? The bottom line is you're going to find yourself in a position, in a situation at some point in your life where you don't have anybody to turn to. And sometimes, you know, we can go for a while because it works out. We got people who help us out and they'll, you know, they'll be able to encourage us and they'll you know, tell us a verse, tell us this or that. But eventually, somewhere along the line, sometime sooner than later, you will find yourself where there is nobody there to do that. And you either stay the same and you stay down, discouraged, defeated, and it just gets worse, or you stir yourself up and you get closer to God, right? We've all heard, like, when you respond, when things happen, you either get closer to God or farther from God. You don't stay the same. So I want to look at a couple of things of how we stir ourselves up. There's a couple obvious ones. Get in church. You got to saturate yourself in the presence of God. Get yourself in church. Stay in church. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. You go home, you read your Bible. When there's things going on, you can't turn to TV or to food or to movies or whatever thing it might be that kind of comforts you and kind of lets you escape into this, like, wow, it's too much. I'm just going to go home and put on Netflix and I'm going to pick up some fast food on my way home and watch movies and whatever. You know, we have to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. How do we do that? We do that by getting in church. We do that by reading our Word. And we do that by speaking the Word of God over ourselves. And that's really, really big. It's really, really big. I want you to look at one more verse real fast. Psalms 43. And this is David also, so we're staying with the same guy. Psalms 43, verse number 5. And David says to himself, "Why are you cast down on my soul?" Like, why are you so defeated? Why are you so down? Why are you so, He's talking to himself, by the way. I know it's kind of weird sometimes to talk to ourselves, but he's talking to himself. And why are you so disquieted within me? Why are you so uneasy and so at unrest? There's the thing. There might be things going on around you that are not ideal. It's not the situation you want to be in. But that doesn't mean your inner man, the peace that we can have from God, the peace that can surpass understanding. That doesn't mean that our inner man has to be in unrest. So David says, "Why are you cast down on my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Basically, it's going to change the way I look. The countenance is like your expression, how you look. And I want you to see that, because this is David stirring himself up. And David, I mean, you read through the Psalms. David knew how to stir himself up. He knew how to get it done. He knew how important it was. This book is huge. Psalms is a really big book. What is David doing? He's talking to himself all the time. And we have to learn to talk to ourselves. We have to learn to stir ourselves up in the Word of God. And how it works is it's like working out. It's, you know, you start with one thing, you know, you're kind of like, you start to work out, like, oh, it's kind of hard. You do it once, like, oh man, I can kind of get three and it's hard. But the more you do it, the stronger you get, right? Like, everybody understands that concept. It's the same thing with the Word of God. It's the same thing with speaking the Word of God over yourself. It feels weird at first. It feels uncomfortable. It's not exactly, you know, it doesn't seem normal. This is kind of weird. But the more you do it, the stronger you will get, and the stronger you will build yourself up. And it was funny. It's funny. I was praying a couple of days ago. I was praying, God, help me to understand and feel the discouragement and the disappointment that we feel. The discouragement and the disappointment that the people in this room right now feel. Because there's people, I know there's, man, there's people in here, you are discouraged and you are down and you don't have hope and you feel empty. And I was just praying, I was asking God to show that to me. Help me to understand it, that I could empathize with it, that I could have compassion with it. And I was praying for that, and I'd been praying, and it was funny. Not really, but God works things together for the good. Today, I'll have you know, I got in trouble at work. I was like, oh, Lord, careful what you pray for. Because that was discouraging. And it may not be to the same level, but I just, it began, at the same time, I was grateful. I was grateful because I could understand even more and have empathy even more with how God feels for you and how God feels for me. And God just was just showing me. And I'm telling you, God wants you, God will help you stir yourself up. There's a couple of verses. Let me do it like this. God just began kind of, it was just showing me some things. And there, I mean, I have been at a place, and I know all of you have too, where there's, your heart just hurts. Like you feel empty. Have you ever, that moment where something bad happens and it's like your heart just falls into your stomach. It's like, you know, and you just kind of, you don't know what to do, and it's just painful, and it feels like everything's falling apart, and it feels like nothing is working out, and it feels like I don't know what to do, and there's only one way to respond to these things, and that's with the Word of God. I'll just read it to you real fast. There's a verse, Romans 5, verse 5. It says, now hope, what hope? Hope in God. Now hope in God does not disappoint, because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have hope in God that cannot disappoint. People will disappoint you. Guarantee it, promise it, it's going to happen. People will disappoint you. God cannot disappoint you if you will wait for him. And I'm encouraging you right now to begin to stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. God, I can't do it. My heart is too heavy. My heart is too weak. I feel like I gave it all and it's still falling apart. I feel like, you know, because sometimes the biggest thing that can be the most disappointing thing is ourself. Can anybody relate with that? God, I can't, like, I tried and it failed. It didn't happen. God, my heart is weak. I can't keep going. Well, guess what? The Bible says that God is the strength of your heart. Did you know that? God, it's too hard. It's there's too much going on. God, I just lost a family member, God, and this happened and this and that happened. And my family, we lost our house and we lost this and we lost that. And God, I can't get a job and I'm trying to get a job, but this isn't happening. That isn't happening. I'm trying to believe for healing, but it's not healing. I was believing for healing for my cousin, God, but he still died. God, it's what's going on, God? And God has verses and he has a word for each and every one of those things. God, I love the verse that God says, behold, my arm is not too short that I cannot save, and my ear too, basically, what is it? Too heavy. I read too many versions and now I confuse myself. too heavy that I cannot hear. And you need to know that today, if you need God, he's here. And he's saying, I'm here. Call on me. Call out to me. I can hear you. I can reach down and save you. I can rescue you because I'm God and that is what I do. He is our strength. He is our refuge. There's so many verses. I don't want to go off on that, but there are so many verses that we need to know, that we need to build ourselves up with. We need to stir ourselves up with. Let's move along. Number two. Number two, change your outlook. Those two of you with the Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 15. As you turn to Genesis 15, I'll give you a little bit of context for this story too. Basically, we're going to be talking about Abraham. Abraham, God has already promised Abraham that he's going to bless him and he's going to make him into a great nation. And so God gave him that promise, and God has already began to do that. Abraham is blessed. He's been exceedingly blessed, and he has begun to grow, and he has this huge house. And basically, the way it worked at that time is that Abraham didn't have a son yet. And the way it worked, if you didn't have a son, one of your servants, most likely, you'd adopt as your son. And everything that Abraham had would go to this adopted son, Eliezer. And Abraham is frustrated. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. He's like, God, what's going on? I don't have my own son. So let's read it. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 2. It says, but Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer? Then Abraham said, look. Can you imagine saying that to God? Like, look, God. Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house, my heir. He's basically saying, God, you haven't given me any sons. I don't have an heir for this to go to. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Eliezer shall not be your heir, but one who came from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5, he said, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. What did God say? First of all, Abraham says, God, look, man. Whenever you talk to somebody like that, look, you're frustrated, right? Like, you don't just walk up to, like, look, Pastor Joey, you know, like, I'm frustrated about something. I'm not happy. I'm discouraged about what's going on. And how does God respond? God responds, and God tells Abraham, you look now. And what does he tell him to do? He tells him to go count the stars. He tells him, he said, then he brought him outside and he said, look now toward the heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. We have to change our outlook. What always happens is we find ourselves in a situation where we're discouraged, we got let down, we got disappointed, we let ourselves down, or something happened, whatever it might be. And it's like, forget it. It's never going to happen. I've tried. I keep trying. It still doesn't happen. I'm done. I don't want to keep doing this. There is no solution. I've tried that. I've tried this. I've tried that and that and that and that. Nothing happens. It hasn't worked. Forget it. And God is saying, go outside. Get out of your situation. All you see is the things that your physical eyes see. And our little brains can try to figure out. That's all we see and understand most of the time. We're discouraged and it's like, well, I tried this and this didn't happen. And these are all things that are happening within ourselves through our own eyes and through our own knowledge, trying to figure out, well, maybe if this happened and that happened and this guy went over here and that happened, then maybe it could happen. And we're trying to figure things out in our own. And God's saying, you need to change your outlook. You need to change your perspective. Go outside. See it from my point of view. When you change your point of view, everything can change. And here's how it goes. A lot of times when we find ourselves discouraged and we've been discouraged for a while, it's because we haven't changed our point of view, right? And here's the problem with that. The problem with that is that your vision is your future. So if you can't, we give up on things, like, forget it. And if you can't see it anymore, God told you to do something and you tried and you tried and you tried and you believed him for this healing and you tithed and you're believing that this would happen and that would get paid and it, whatever. You try something and it doesn't happen in our own eyes. And then we end up saying, forget it. Or we stop pursuing it. We stop pushing it. We stop fighting for it. We stop going after it with all of our heart. And now all of a sudden, our vision for that thing that God showed us, or the vision for the thing that God put in our heart, begins to dwindle, begins to get smaller, it begins to get harder to see, and before you know it, you don't see it at all. And the problem with that is that the vision that you have is your future. If you don't have a vision to be better, to go farther, you won't. If you don't have a vision and you are not able to see that you can go farther than even your parents, or do better than the job you currently have, or do more than what you're already doing, and you want more capacity. If you don't have a vision for those things, I promise you, they won't happen. And what happens is we get discouraged, and our vision begins to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and before you know it, you don't have a vision for it at all. And once you've reached that point, it's not going to happen. So God's saying, change your outlook. Come with me. Come outside. See it from my perspective. Things look different up here. I can see things I could not see down there now that I'm up here. God is telling us we got to get up. We got to go outside. We got to change. And the way it works is it's just like stirring yourself up with the Word of God. The bigger the vision you get from God gets, the smaller the problems and the obstacles in your life will get. So think about it like this. God challenged me. What can happen when God is made big in my life? What can happen when God is made big in my life? What can happen when God is made big in your life? What can happen when God is made big in Shift? At the Rock, in the Inland Empire. I'll tell you what can happen. When God is made big, there is no devil in hell that could stop you. When God is made big in your life, there is no sickness or disease that can hold you back. When God is made big, there is no dream, no far out desire in your heart that cannot be accomplished through the Spirit of God. When God is made big in your life will never be the same. How big is your God? How big is my God? When God is made big, this service will be packed. When God is made big, we'll end up in the main sanctuary. When God is made big, change your outlook. Get the outlook from God. How do you do that? By stirring yourself up with the Word of God. If God is for me, who can be against me? All things are possible to those. And stir it up, stir it up, stir it up, stir it up. When God is made big, you will do the things, you know, you've heard the verse. You've heard the verse that God will do things that are exceedingly above and beyond what you could hope, think, or imagine. You know when that happens? When God is made big. Not when God is a part of your life. And you come to church on this day and you kind of do this or that. You will experience and you will walk in the things that were only possible by God when God is made big in your life. Last thing, really quick, and we'll finish. Number three, remember what he's already done. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, I'll just read it. It says, and they overcame him, who? The devil. They overcame discouragement. They overcame disappointment. They overcame lack. They overcame sickness. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of Pastor Joey's testimony, Antonio's testimony, by the word of their testimony. Just like David strengthened himself and his God, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, my testimony. And God showed me a lot of times what we do. God has done things in each and every one of your life. Just by the mere fact, if you are saved, you have been saved from the pit of hell. And you have life eternal with God. That is huge. Every one of you have a testimony. And when we face a situation and we're discouraged and we're down, and it's like, well, God can't do that. I mean, well, yeah, he did that, but that was like a year ago, that was 5 years ago. You know, well, we did that, but that, you know, it's not here now. This hasn't happened. And you begin to devalue what God has already done in your life. And that really hit me. I don't want to devalue the things that God has done, that God has already done in my life, because those are real and those count. And I overcome by those things. And if I devalue them, it's just like taking the word of God and saying, well, you know, it's the sword of the spirit. You know, it cuts between soul and spirit. Well, but yeah, but that was like 5 years ago. And now all of a sudden you're making your sword all dull. And you're like, it's not working. Well, gee, I wonder why. You don't even value it. You've devalued what God has already done in your life. There's one last verse, and then we're finished. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. So we're talking about how do you deal with discouragement, and how do you deal with disappointment? And if we can do these things, if we can stir ourselves up, if we can remember what God has already done, if we can change our outlook, this produces a healthy, mature Christian. And God shows us this in Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm going to read it, starting at verse 5. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Are you going to have opportunity and situations to be discouraged and disappointed and down and out? Yep, it's going to happen. But God hasn't called us to get disappointed and to stay there and become unfruitful and to become dry and, I don't know, it's just a really bad season, you know, and now everything's not going good and you're not really come to church as much because it's not going good or whatever, all that type of stuff. God hasn't called us to do that. If we can stir ourselves up, if we change our outlook, remember what God has already done for us, regardless of the disappointments, regardless of the discouragement, regardless of whatever the devil might try to bring against you, you can keep your trust and your hope and your courage in God, not the situation. And what happens? What happens is that your leaves will not fade. Your leaves, they will not, what else to say? They'll stay green. They got color. Your leaves will stay green. And you will continue to produce fruit. God has called us to be fruitful. God has called us to be fruitful in all that we do. So if you got a word from God tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise.